74.1 Artisan Rogue Radio.
There's an innocuous kind of specter that hangs around a lot of people from time to time. I like to call that specter stress. Hi, my name is Mario, the Artisan Rogue, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about that. The whole thing is that, like normal, I was out looking at, you know, social media and that sort of thing. And, you know, and many of you have probably realized this too. Social media is just as much an area where you can talk about, you know, your life happenings and that sort of thing, just as much as you can also end up going off about things that are going wrong in life. There's an infinite amount of levels of stress and, you know, pictures and all that sort of thing out there. So I know for myself, stress is not a fun thing. It's something that I go through, you know, more than I'd like on almost a daily basis. And some of the causes, you know, for me mainly are dealing with, you know, creativity, my job, you know, in general, all my jobs, you know, because I do multiple things. And also, you know, possibly dealing, you know, with health or, you know, dealing with, you know, the weather. I know plenty of people that maybe, you know, when winter sets in, which is actually one of my favorite seasons, fall is actually my favorite season, but I like the quiet and the almost withdrawn sensibility that happens during winter. Whereas there's plenty of other people, and I know this from when I worked at the bar downtown at Power and Light District. There were plenty of people down there that I never understood. I wish I did, but they loved summer. I mean, it's the whole concept of getting out there. The sun is shining. They're having fun, that sort of thing. I was always much more of the kind that was far more reserved and, you know, wanted to stay home and either be drawing, reading a book, or watching a movie. And that played very much so because of my introverted ways. So the point is that stress is one of those crazy things that for so many reasons inhabits our mind, our hearts, our health, really. Now, let's take a look at, you know, more specifically some of the things that could be happening with that. Now, sure, a lot of people, you know, just about everybody has family members that could indirectly or very much directly be a cause of stress. Maybe it's your job. Maybe, you know, maybe it's something, you know, more personal. Maybe it's, you know, something that you've got going on health-wise. Or like I said earlier, you know, it could be external things, you know, environmental things from the weather to, you know, where you live, out, you know, altitude. Maybe you live too close to the sea. I don't know. But there's you know, we can talk about the issues and the problems, but the fact of the matter is I think that there is a far more universal way of dealing with things than there is to sit there and try and analyze all of the different ones that are going wrong. Case in point, what I mean is that, okay, let's look at it this way. One of the ways that I manage to overcome a lot of stress is I'll work on lists. And what I mean by that is, I mean, if you were to see my phone is filled with all these different lists and organization and pictures and these sort of things. It's one of the few things that allows me to actually stay sane. And I'll write down things for shows. Like, case in point, I've got Planet Comic Con coming up pretty soon. Well, so the first thing I really start looking at is like, okay, so, you know, how many issues do I need? Have I created enough original artwork? What else can I do in this time? How many days do I have left? That sort of thing. And I try to make sure that I'm consistently thinking of the next show as far ahead of time as possible. In other words, as soon as Planet ends this year, the moment I'm back home and I've set all my stuff down and, you know, counted out my bank and checked out all these other sorts of things, the first thing I'm looking at is, okay, what did I do wrong? What could I do better? And how can I build upon that for the next year? That's one of the ways that I've managed to find to alleviate my stress. Because prior to that, I had really been freaking out a lot about just procrastinating and waiting too long to get things done. Now, another thing I found more recently, and this is, you know, kind of one of those things where I had ended up being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and got the beatus. And so because of that, you know, it was definitely it has been very much a life changer. I mean, you know, my diet changed, all kinds of stuff. I'm on medication now for that. And I'm fine, by the way. I mean, I really am. I tend to mask a lot of these issues that I have with humor and, you know, try to look at the absurd side of it and everything. You know, I mean, it's something I take seriously, but it's something that you know, there right there is how I solve it. You know, I tend to look at a lot of things like that, you know, with a not just with a grain of salt, but also a little bit of humor laced into it. So then that way it's easier for me to cope with and deal with. And then it makes it much more manageable in my head for me to be able to say, okay, well, this is a real medical condition that I have. Now, what can I do that would be enjoyable? What's a positive that comes out of this? Well, one of the things that ended up happening was the medication I'm on has also helped me control my weight, you know, and then I, because of that, I also ended up becoming much more active. I mean, I started taking the stairs as opposed to work, you know, taking the elevator at work. I ended up parking a little bit further out, and I've become a little bit more interested in wanting to get healthy because, you know, it's something that can be managed, quite frankly, by just eating right and exercising. So that was one of the ways that I tried to get the stress out. Because let me tell you, the first day that I actually found out, I mean, there was all these different signs that were kind of coming up. You know, I was like, something's really wrong here. And I was stressing myself out. So finally, I went to the doctor, found out what was going on. Was I pleased with it? No, not necessarily. But it was one of those things where it's like, well, there's really nothing I can do about, well, no, there is something I can do about that. I cannot let the stress get to me, and I can try and overcome this to the best of my possible ability. Another thing that keeps me really sane, and I've got a lot of them, are my hobbies. I mean, you know, some of you know that I review toys for Tenacious Ninja occasionally, and I collect a lot of toys and video games, and that's just a huge passion of mine. That's something that I'm hugely endeavored, you know, within. And those are the sorts of things that allow me to keep my mental stimulus up and not stress out so much about things, because they're escapes. I mean, for me, coming home and maybe being able to play a quick video game or maybe build a Lego set or do something along that line, as crazy as that sounds, it really does diffuse a lot of the stress I have. On the same note, it's just as equivalent. I mean, one of the things I really love is boxing, and I have a boxing bag. Unfortunately, because the studio is being built up, that sucker's all blocked off. So that's for the high-end stress levels whenever I'm really not happy about something, but I need some sort of outlet there. That's what I would use that one for. Thankfully, there hasn't really been that much of an issue where I've needed that sort of thing. And probably the other one too is, if you don't have any of that, if you don't want to mess with lists, or you know, maybe you already exercise and that's not the answer, or you know, you're really not that interested in, you know, getting other hobbies, or maybe you have some and that's not the answer, the best thing you can do with the stress is probably confront it head on. There was a book that was given to me quite a while back, and right off the top of my head, I can't remember what the author's name was, but it was something like Eat the Frog. And it sounds so insane, but the concept of it was, look, if you've got, it basically told a story of dealing with not only problems, but the stress that comes along with those problems. And what it was, you know, was the thing of, if you have to do a number of things on a list, and one of them happens to be eating a live bullfrog, do that first, because you're going to get it out of the way. It's the worst thing. You don't have to mess with it after that. And it sounds really disgusting. And as an animal rights activist, I'm not really pleased with it, but I understand the metaphor and the concept behind it. I get it. I'm not, you know, blindly offended by that. And then the other aspect of it, you know, ultimately is to, you know, turn up your, I don't give a damn meter all the way up, and maybe, you know, go full on Elsa with it and just let it go. And no, I'm not going to break out in song. Nobody needs to ever hear that. But one of the things that got me whenever I'd seen that movie, Frozen, pretty sure you've all seen it, little independent flick. And that film, as crazy as this sounds, you know, I remember sitting there, and it's that whole moment when she's actually singing that song, and she constructs the whole ice castle out of, you know, with using her powers and that sort of thing. It was a really moving and powerful moment. It was one of those, you know, things where it's like, wow, that's stunning. That's amazing. She was letting it all go and just, you know, getting out there and doing this sort of thing. And for me, for a while, that was a pretty profound thing. But what really got to me was I saw the movie Zootopia. And if you haven't seen that film, go see it. It's probably one of the best, if not the best, Disney movie I have seen in a very long time. It worked on so many levels. It was just a really, really great movie. And one of the things that I do remember about it was, there's a character in there, one of the main characters, Nick Wilde. He's the fox. And this isn't giving anything away, but there's a particularly poignant moment in there where he as a child has to, he's trying to join what is the equivalent of Cub Scouts. And he's ostracized and held down and, you know, made fun of and basically kicked out and embarrassed after they put a muzzle on him. And it's a bunch of herbivores, you know, that don't like him because he's a carnivore. And that moment really hit me because when I remember when I was living in Texas, there was a Boy Scout troop down there. It's the only time that I've ever had Boy Scouts kind of fail me. There was a Boy Scout troop that I was really excited to join up with. My father had taken me to the meeting, and I was looking forward to it. I was like so into this concept. I was like, oh, my God, I'm okay. You know, because what was happening was, long story short, my dad was going TDY, and he was going to be staying in Korea for like a year, year and a half, something like that. So it was me, my mom, my brother, living with my sister, living with my grandmother in Kennedy, Texas, little tiny town, tiny-ass town in Texas. And they did have a Boy Scout troop down there. I think it had like maybe 8 or 9 boys in it. So I was ecstatic because I felt, you know, I was already, you know, it's the whole new kid, new school, that sort of thing going on. And, you know, you're just trying to find your feet and be out there. Well, the point of it was that I stayed there for that first meeting, talked to everybody. My dad came back. And so I don't know if it was just, you know, maybe my father was really, you know, proud of me. Or one of the things that got to me was that after everything was done and said, I waited around that next week because my father had made a deal with a guy like, hey, you know, we'll pay you some gas money if you can come by, pick up my son to help out. And they never showed up. They never showed up, which, you know, to this day is still one of those things where I'm like, wow, that's pretty crappy. You were a scoutmaster. And it wasn't a situation where, you know, lines were crossed or, you know, as far as communication or anything. It was straight up, you know, I was not really supposed to be part of that troop. And so for a year, year and a half, I didn't end up doing anything with scouting, which really affected me in the long run. But it didn't affect how I felt about scouts. Eventually, I ended up going and joining up with a wonderful troop, Troop 405 out of Whiteman Air Force Base, and became an Eagle Scout. But I never forgot that. And that there's a moment in there, he says, that Nick Wilde says in Zootopia, where he's, you know, reminiscing about this. And he says, never let them see that they get to you. And that's very true with stress. If we take the initiative to overcome these things and not let them see that they get to you, no matter what it is we're talking about, that's pretty powerful stuff, don't you think? I know that it's worked for me over the years. And sometimes, even in the face of the craziest things, and I don't care if I'm talking about when I worked at, you know, bars and I've had to deal with guys 2 to 3 times bigger than me, or, you know, not even maybe that much bigger, just that much better at, you know, barroom fighting. That can be a pretty intimidating thing, but so can dealing with somebody who's maybe highly passive aggressive in the most nonviolent way. The thing is that we are going to end up going through a lot of things. All of us will. And we have to make that decision whether or not we want stress to overtake us, or if we want to meet it head on, and not necessarily in a brute force way. Maybe it's doing any one of the other things. Maybe it's taking up yoga. Maybe it's, you know, which a friend of mine had recommended to me. Maybe it's, you know, finding our own unique voice and our own unique way of dealing with it. The best thing you can do, honestly, is talk about it. Talk about it with other people. Everybody has it in common at some point in time. So anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Love to hear, you know, your comments, maybe your stories if you'd like. Email me at mario@mariomora.net. And thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I love the feedback you guys have been giving me and all that sort of thing. So until next time, I'm Mario the Artisan Rogue. Be kind to your fellow beings, support your local artists, and I'll see you next time.